Welcoming you today. We have visitors with us and we thank you for coming. We hope you're comfortable as you make your visit with us. Encourage you to get your Bible and search the scriptures with us. In just a few moments we'll be singing a song to invite you to render obedience to the gospel. Number 605, and all things have been made ready that you might enjoy all spiritual blessings in Christ today. If you take your Bible and come with me to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10 as a basis for our study, I'll be reading verses 10 and 11. Peter talks about the day of the Lord, how it will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? In light of the fact that this present world will come to an end, he asked this question: what manner of persons ought ye to be? That's a good question, isn't it? I do well to consider that. What manner of person ought I to be? If you were to begin reading in Genesis chapter 1 and make your way all the way through Revelation 22, you have any idea how many times you'd come across the word be? More than 7,000. 7,012 times you find the word be in the scriptures. I've selected 16 of those to call our attention to this morning. I'm calling this study 16 things to be in 2016. As you think about what manner of persons ought ye to be, I'll hit these quickly. I begin by suggesting to us, first of all, and recommending that if you're not already, that you ought to be a Christian in 2016. I don't know of any better way you could start out a new year than by being a Christian. In Acts 26 and in verse 28, I read where Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be." I got a question for you, Agrippa. What was Paul trying to persuade you to be? He said, "A Christian." I'd like to persuade you to be a Christian in 2016. The number of reasons why you need to be a Christian. You need to be a Christian because of the blessings that are in Christ. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. You need to be a Christian because salvation is in Christ. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10. You need to be a Christian so you can go to heaven when this world comes to an end. You need to be a Christian because of the value of your soul. It's worth more than the whole world, as Jesus said in Matthew 16 and verse 26. And you can be a Christian today the same way that folks became Christians in Bible days. As you hear the word of God, believe it with all of your heart, repent of your sins, confess your faith, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God," and are baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. But as you make your study of 16 things to be in 2016, let me recommend to us, secondly, that we need to be faithful. If the Bible teaches anything at all, it teaches the importance of faithfulness. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2 that it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And you remember the words of the Lord as recorded in Revelation 2:10? He said, "Be thou faithful." How long should we be faithful, Lord? Unto death. And so, as you make your study of things to be in 2016, be faithful. Be one who can be counted on. Be dependable. Be faithful under the taking of your life. Just like those in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, all of these people were said to have faith. Beginning with Abel, for example, by faith Abel. And you read about great men and women who were faithful all their days. And all of these were said to have faith because of what they did. They did what God said do. But a third B for 2016. Be an example. I read these words of Paul to young Timothy, as recorded in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 12. He said, "Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." He outlines some excellent areas in which to be an example. In word, that's what I say and how I say it and what I don't say. In conversation, that's your manner of life, how we live. In charity, it comes to love. In spirit, it has to do with your attitude. In faith and in purity. What kind of an example will you be in 2016? Be an example of the believers. That is, be an example of a Christian. Let's conduct ourselves in such a way that when people look at us, they can say, that's what it means to be a believer. That's an example of how a Christian conducts himself. Dedicate yourself to being an example in 2016. But number four, be strong. Serving the Lord takes a lot of strength. And one reason some people do not make it is because of being too weak. The appeal of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13, as he gave some admonitions to Christians, was, be strong. And when he wrote the Ephesian saints in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, he said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." When he wrote Timothy again in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 1, guess what he had to say to this young man? "My son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." On a scale of 1 to 10, how strong do you consider yourself spiritually? Lord willing, in our Bible studies this next quarter, after we talk about the fall, Judah after the fall, we're going to talk about some lessons that are designed to help us to be strong in the Lord. And we hope that you'll make arrangements to be with us for Bible study Sunday morning and Wednesday night, so as to be strong in 2016. Let me recommend to us a fifth area of B, and that is we need to be holy. We sing a song about that sometimes. Take time to be holy. As you think about being holy, in Ephesians chapter 1, when Paul talked about in Christ, he said in verse 4, "According as he hath chosen us in him," that's in the Lord, "that we should be what? Holy and without blame before him in love." Peter also talked about that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. He said, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That is, in every area of your life, be holy. "Because it is written," what's written? "Be ye holy, for I am holy." That's written in Leviticus 11 and in verse 44. And so several times the Bible appeals to us to be holy. That's to be separate and apart from uncleanness. But again, as you think about some things to be in 2016, add this to your list. Be thankful. How thankful are you? Somebody say, "Well, I am thankful about one day a year. It comes to Thanksgiving. That's Thanksgiving Day, and that's when I express my thanksgiving." How about being thankful, not just one day, but every day of the year? We have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? But it would seem that most people are unthankful. You remember the Lord having an encounter with 10 lepers? And he healed all of them. But how many of those 10 came back and said, "Thank you"? Only one. Remember the question he asked? "Where are the 9? That might indicate that a lot of people are ungrateful. Had you been one of those 10, would you have seen fit to return and say, "Thank you, Lord"? When you think about this Bible B, writing the Colossians in chapter 3 and in verse 15, Paul said, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, which also you're called in one body, and be ye, guess what? Thankful. Be thankful. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, he talked about not worrying so much. He said, be careful for nothing. That is, don't be so anxious. Don't get so worked up about things. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then notice this statement of Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 18. He said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Somebody does something nice for you, the least I can do is say what? Thank you. That ought to be in our vocabulary. And when we pray to God, we need to thank God. Sometimes we're always asking. Some people are asking God for this and that. How about thanking God for the blessings and benefits He's brought to our lives? Be thankful. Number 7. Be content. How content are we? You know, we live in a society that doesn't know much about being content. We live in a society that's covetous, right? That wants more and more and more and more. Paul penned in Philippians 4 and in verse 11, I have learned. Do you know what he learned? In whatsoever state I am, to be content. He talked about being abased and abounding. Sometimes he went without some things. And there were times when he had more than he needed. But whether he had more than he needed or not enough, he said, I am content. He was content. And I learned from him, I need to be content. Be content with the things that I have. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul tried to teach this same principle. He said in verse 7, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. You take the richest man who's ever lived. Guess how much of it he took with him when he died? Not a penny. He left it all behind. And Paul said, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Have food to eat, have clothes to wear, be content. I need to learn that. Maybe you do too. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, it is recorded, let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I'll not fear what man shall do unto me. Be a good area for us to work on in this new year, wouldn't it? To be content. Let me give you another one, number 8. As you think about 16 things to be in 2016, how about be hospitable. I read in the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 13 where Paul said be given to something. What is that something? Hospitality. The word hospitality literally means love of strangers. You know, our education system has impressed upon us early in life, don't talk to strangers. And I appreciate where they're coming from. But I wonder sometimes if we've gotten among us this thinking that we just kind of distance ourselves from people that are strangers. And so we don't greet them. And we wouldn't think about having a stranger in our house. You know, we read in the Old Testament where there were those who entertained strangers. Hebrews 13:2 says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. For thereby some have entertained angels unawares. That goes back to Abraham and Lot. Abraham, for example, Genesis 18, there were strangers came to his tent door. And he ran in the tent and hid, didn't he? Don't talk to strangers. No, he eagerly greeted them. He ran and met them, invited them into his tent. He told his wife, he said, make ready quickly. And she did. He went out to the herd and fetched a calf and dressed it. He churned butter, made butter, set before them and they ate. A good example of hospitality. And Peter said in 1 Peter 4 and verse 9, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Be a good goal for me this year in 2016 to be hospitable, to practice hospitality toward brethren and toward those who are without. Those are 8 of the 16. Number 9. Be a teacher. You know, the scriptures call upon us to be teachers. In the book of Hebrews 5 and verse 12. Listen to these words. For when for the time ye ought to be what? Teachers. Think about that. He's writing first century Christians. And among the things he says to be a teacher. Now, I've got to work on that. One of the first rules of teaching is you can't teach what you don't know. And so in order to be a teacher, I've got to study. I've got to read. I've got to learn so I can do that, don't I? And 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, Paul said, study to show thyself approved unto God. Takes a lot of that. Takes a lot of reading. In Ephesians 3 and 4, Paul said, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ. Maybe I've not been the kind of teacher I need to be. Maybe I've neglected that because I've not been the student that I need to be. I've not been reading. I've not been studying this book like I need to. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, when Paul wrote the young man Timothy, he said, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to do what? Teach others also. Think about that. Here you have Paul speaking to Timothy. And he told Timothy, the things that you have heard of from me, or heard of me, what do you want me to do with those? Just keep them to myself, right? Don't do anything else with it. He said, no. Commit those to faithful men. And what are these faithful men going to do? They're just going to be selfish and not tell anybody, right? No, he said, who shall be able to teach others also? See that process? Paul taught Timothy. Timothy was to teach faithful men. Those faithful men would teach others. And you and I are found in that continual cycle of teaching. That is, the things that I've been taught, the things that I've learned, that I've studied, that I've come to know. I can't hide that. I can't just keep that to myself. I've got to tell other people. I've got to teach other people. And so let me challenge you to be a teacher in 2016. Think about somebody you know who needs to be taught the gospel, who needs to learn the truth, and be a teacher. Be an Andrew and bring them to Jesus, like you read about in John 1, 40 through 42. But number 10, as you make your list today of things to be in 2016, how about be kind? You know anybody that could benefit from some kindness? There's a fellow I've been told of that was visiting the hospital. And he asked the patient, is there anything you need? He said, how about a few kind words? Maybe you hadn't heard any. Have you seen a little sign that says practice random acts of kindness? You know, the Bible teaches us to be kind. It does in a number of places. Let me give an example of that. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Paul said, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. We heard that read just a few moments ago, didn't we? Be what? Be kind. And then in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, notice these words. And be ye kind one to another. You know, some people know how to be kind to everybody but their family. Have you seen that? Maybe they go to work, they're real kind to the people at work, or they're out here in the community and they're kind, and they get home and put them up. The gloves come. Time to fight. He said, be kind one to another. We need to learn that. Think about what can I do to demonstrate kindness today? And develop that reputation. When people think of you, they mention your name. Do they think about somebody who's kind? Well, he's the kindest fellow I know. Or she's so kind. What a compliment. And that goes along with what we say. How we say it. Words of kindness. Think about some words of kindness. You might make a list of some of those that characterize a person who's kind. And let's work on being kind in 2016. Number 11. As you make your study of bees, and there are a lot of them buzzing throughout the scriptures, aren't there? Be diligent. What's it mean to be diligent? Well, I'll give you the opposite of that. Dilatory. Lazy. A lot of people are that way in our society. We've got a generation of people that kind of sit down on the stool of do nothing and whittle away at the stick of do less. Right? And maybe there's something that needs to be done, and days and weeks and months pass and it's not been done. How come that is, you think? Maybe because we failed to be diligent. Notice in the book of 2 Peter 3 and verse 14 where Peter says, be diligent. We're going to talk about a statement in the Old Testament in our next study with reference to Hezekiah, who will say to the priests and the Levites about being done diligently. And so we need a good dose of diligence. It suggests care and conscientiousness in our work and in our duties. Think about those who are diligent on the job. They're characterized by care. They care about their job. They care about their work, whatever line of work they may be in. They take their duties seriously. They're conscientious. And that's the way it ought to be with us as Christians. Folks need to know that about us. Let me ask you, which of these terms best describes you? Diligent or dilatory? You have the idea, we need to get after that, we need to get it done, or we can do that tomorrow, or we don't have to do it at all. That's the way it is with some people. We kind of have a tendency sometimes to procrastinate, to put off tomorrow. And my disposition is, why put off tomorrow what we can do today? How about you? Let me talk to us about another area. Number 12, B. How about be spiritually minded? You know, there are two different mindsets that exist among people. What the Bible refers to as the spiritual mind and then the carnal mind. Let me look at that with you for just a moment. Romans 8, verses 5 and 6. Paul said, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Two minds. The carnal mind versus the spiritual mind. The carnal mind is concerned about the flesh, fleshly things, physical. The spiritual mind's concerned about the things of the Spirit. You see, there's two things. You've got the spirit versus the flesh. There's more to us than this physical body, this house of flesh. We have within us a spirit, sometimes called the soul. And one of these days, it's going to survive the death of this body. We're going to go back to the dust from whence it came. The spirit unto God who gave it. And so the spirit's more important, more valuable, isn't it, than the flesh. Now, writing the Galatians in chapter 5, he contrasts the fruit of the Spirit with the works of the flesh. Notice the difference. He said in verse 19, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Those are the things of the flesh. But then he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, like love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And when I'm spiritually minded, I'm going to produce the fruit of the Spirit. in my life. And I'm going to talk about spiritual things. That's where my affection will be. Like Paul said in Colossians 3, set your affection on things above instead of on things here on earth. And so let's be spiritually minded in 2016. Let me suggest another area, number 13. How about be humble? We've been studying about some people who had a problem with being arrogant. You might think of several. You might think, for example, of the fella whose heart was lifted up and he became a leper named Uzziah, King Uzziah. When he was strong and his heart was lifted up, that's an expression of pride. He went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense. He didn't have any business doing that. And God had a unique way of humbling him. He turned him into a leper. He was smitten with leprosy. You can read all about that in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And he was made to live in a separate place by himself throughout his life. Sad story, isn't it? Or you might think about a fellow in the New Testament, a king by the name of Herod, who made a great speech. And the people said, it's the voice of a god. And because he gave not the glory. Remember what happened to him? He was eaten of worms. How'd you like to be eaten of worms and die? Or you might think about the Pharisee and his prayer. Luke 18, you remember? He boasted. He said, I thank God that I'm not as other men are. And you see him pointing his finger at the publican. I'm glad I'm not like this fella. And the publican, he wouldn't so much as lift up his eyes toward him. He smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, a number of times this book appeals to us to be humble, not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. In 1 Peter 5 and 5, Peter said that God resisteth the proud and appealed to his audience, be clothed with humility. When you put on your apparel this morning, did you put on some humility? We need to be clothed with humility, be humble. That's important. Some people want to tell everybody how great they are. But as you make your list of some B's, number 14, you might jot down, be like-minded. The Bible appeals to us as Christians to be united, to be one, to be of the same mind. And it uses a lot of different language to do that. But several times, the Bible just uses the words, be like-minded. Like Romans 15:5, where Paul said, the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus. And then again, in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2, he said, fulfill ye my joy. How do we do that? That ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And again, 1 Corinthians 1:10. Paul writes to a group of people who were divided. They were wearing the names of men, and he reprimanded them for that. He said in 1 Corinthians 1:10, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that y'all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Sometimes there are different mindsets among brethren. One fellow thinks this way and another fellow thinks a different way. Paul said, don't do that. Be like-minded. And it's a blessing to be among brethren here who are like-minded, who have the same mind. And the thing that brings that about is when we all try to have the mind of Christ. As Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, Philippians 2 and 5. And when you possess the mind of Christ, and I possess the mind of Christ, we can be like-minded, can't we? But number 15, as you make your list of some B's for 2016, how about adding this one? Be a doer. Not just a hearer. You know, some people are kind of like the fella who allows it to go in one ear and out the other. That's as far as it goes. But James said in James 1 and then verse 23 through 25, to not be hearers only, but doers. He said, be a doer of the word. This man is the man that's blessed in his deed. And the Lord taught about that in Matthew 7, you remember? When he came to the end of the Sermon on the Mount. He talked about those who hear his sayings and do them versus those who hear and don't. You heard the story of the wise and the foolish builders? Some of our young people, their Bible classes from early age, learned that song. That the wise man built his house upon the rock. The rains came and the floods. Winds blew, his house stood and built on a rock. That represents those who hear and do. They talked about the foolish. The rains come, the floods, the winds, his house fell. Right? Built on the sand. Represents those who don't. Do what the Lord said. Be a doer. Be a doer in 2016. And then number 16. As you make your list of Bible be, 16 things to be in 2016, how about be ready? You know, there are a number of areas in which we need to be ready. Let me just mention one of them. We need to be ready for the Lord's coming. In Matthew 24 and in verse 44, the Lord said, be ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. That is, he will come when you are least expecting. And so be ready. Matthew 25 talks about that. The Lord talked about 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. The foolish took their lamps, but no oil. The wise took oil. At midnight, there was a cry. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. All the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. But the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. They said, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And you can't buy preparation. You can't give it away. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. They found themselves on the wrong side of the door. They said, Lord, Lord, open. He said, I know you not. And then he appeals in verse 13, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. What do you learn from that? Be ready. And that was the message of Peter, wasn't it? In 2 Peter 3 and 10, the day the Lord will come. How's it going to come? As a thief in the night. Does the thief give you any signs of his coming? He leaves a little note on your door, doesn't he? He said, now be ready, because tomorrow at 3 o'clock in the afternoon I'm coming. If he did, you'd be ready, wouldn't you? You'd be there. You'd probably call the authorities and tell them, I've got this little note, and why don't you come? And the Lord comes as a thief in the night. That is, he'll come suddenly and unexpectedly. And so I've got to always be ready. And I believe that's a good area of us to think about in this year, to be ready for Christ's coming, along with these other 15. I hope that you and I will make a list of these and dedicate ourselves to being all that God would have us to be in 2016. You're not a Christian, you're not obeyed the gospel, we are eager to assist you in that process. Having heard the word, if you would believe it, would be willing to repent of your sins, to confess your faith, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We'll be happy to baptize you. If you're a Christian, but you've not been faithful, maybe some of these areas you need to work on. We hope that you'll do that. If there's sin in your life that you need to repent of, you need to confess unto God, we urge you to do that so that He'll forgive you. If we can assist you in making your life right with God, don't hesitate. Come now while we stand and while we sing the song. Just as